Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Redondo Beach, More to See, on November 30th, 2016. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show, Redondo Beach, More to See, is brought to you by the Redondo Beach Chamber of Commerce and Visitors Bureau. For over 108 years, the Redondo Beach Chamber has played a vital role in helping companies grow their business by taking the lead in programs and efforts that help create a strong local economy and make the community a great place to do business. The Chamber is committed to promoting the community through its aggressive tourism program and by participating in efforts that improve the quality of life in Redondo Beach. In addition, the Chamber represents the interests of business by working year-round to ensure local elected officials and other decision-makers are educated on the impact their actions have on the local economy. Networking programs provide opportunities for members to sell their products and services to peers and make lifelong connections. The Redondo Chamber is also the proud sponsor of signature events in Redondo Beach, such as the Redondo Beach Lobster Festival and Super Bowl Sunday 10K. For additional information on how the Redondo Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Redondo Beach, visit the website at visitredondo.com.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our mini adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on the South Bay Show. And of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with SouthBayByJackie.com and producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I am wonderful, Joe. How are you?
I'm tingly all over, Jackie. Some of our listeners may remember, they'd have to be really loyal listeners. About 3 years ago, we did an event that was amazing. What a great event that was. And of course, it's an event that has been going on for decades. I love this event.
Yes, it's exciting, isn't it?
Yes.
We've been invited back to do it again.
And we've been invited back. I'm so happy. And of course, it's not just the idea that we're going to be doing this event live streaming. It's going to be very exciting, terrifying in a way, but it's the charities that are benefited by this event. It's the community. It's a great community event. Jackie, who are our guests today?
Our guests this morning are Karen Kietzer, Chair of the King Harbor Holiday Boat Parade Committee, Julie Cole, co-founder of the King Harbor Boating Foundation, Abby Featherstone, head coach of the King Harbor Youth Foundation, and Ron Grassel, Sea Scout skipper for the King Harbor Yacht Club. Now, this morning, our guests are going to fill us in on what we can expect at the King Harbor Holiday Boat Parade this year. It takes place in King Harbor Marina on Saturday, December 10th, and starts at 4:30. And we're also going to learn, as you mentioned, about the charities that are going to benefit from the event. So, Karen, Julie, Ron, Abby, welcome to the program. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning, everyone. And thank you for joining us. It's going to be a lot of fun because this is such a fun event. Karen, let's start with you. When you think about the Holiday Boat Parade, what comes to mind first, Karen?
Oh, the holidays are always a lot of fun and beautiful and everything. And seeing all the decorated boats out there on the channel, it just feels like it's Christmas time.
It's Christmas time.
This year is our 25th annual parade.
Wow. Wow.
So we're kind of excited about that.
Yeah, that is exciting. That is very exciting. And Julie, I know you've been around for a while. How long have you been involved with the King Harbor Yacht Club, Julie?
The yacht club itself, on and off for a decade, but the boat parade specifically on and off for about 3 years, 4 years. Last time you guys were doing it.
I don't think people really, if they've never experienced it, I don't think that they can appreciate it because it's not just quote-unquote decorations. It's electric. and it's kind of people don't really, I mean, it's shocking almost when you first see it. It's electrified, all these lights and everything on these boats. Isn't that shocking, don't you think, Julie?
There's a lot more work that goes into it, and I know for us, it's when our kids actually start to understand electrical, when you start to hook lights up to generators, and suddenly it's a light bulb, no pun intended, goes off, and they start to learn that there's a lot more to it, you're right.
It's exciting and fun.
The puns are going to be flying today, I can just tell.
Abby Featherstone, what do you think of when you think of the boat parade? What comes to mind first?
I had a very funny moment. I had to volunteer a couple of years ago with the paddle boarding portion of boat parade. And, you know, that time of year, it's pretty cold. So just watching these really brave souls go out in their costumes on these paddle boards while it was like blowing like stink and it was freezing cold was pretty memorable.
Okay.
Yeah, that's one part of the parade we should mention. Prior to the boats coming out, I think about 4 or 4:30, the paddle boarders come out first. And they're on their paddle boards and they're in costume and they have decorations and they have little animals on the boat, on the paddle boards with them. And it's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. Last year I remember it being a little windy, so that many people didn't go out, but, in prior years you've had upwards of, you know, 50, 100 paddle boarders out there and they come out into the harbor and they do a loop so that everybody can see them. And then once they come back in, then the boats come out. I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah. Exciting. And Ron, I want to get everyone's first impression, Ron Grassel, Sea Scout skipper. What's the first thing you think of when you think of the holiday boat parade?
When I go out there, every time I've gone out on the boat, I've never seen the parade from the shore, which is kind of interesting. But the thing that I always remember first is that time when you first leave the dock with the lights, when the lights are ready to go. So you leave the dock and go out into the harbor slowly and find your spot. You're going to get a spot out in line with all the other boats. And then there's that countdown for the last few seconds before the lights go on. That's like one of the premier moments when you're out there, and then they count down here on the radio. So if they change the lights, everybody turns their lights on at once. And it's pretty exciting. You start the generator up right about then, so the big generator noises all come on and the lights come on. And we have music on our boats too. We turn that on too. So it's an exciting moment when the lights all come on.
As you say, there's music involved. There's lots of I might even call it animatronics. There's some of the boats have lots of moving parts, and of course the lights. It's just a unique event that it has to be seen to be believed.
You know, Joe, I never thought about it because we've always seen it. We're on land.
Yeah.
Watching the parade, and I never thought about what the perspective would be from a boat that's in the parade.
It's a whole different world when you're out there on the boat, especially if there's weather. Sometimes it's like sprinkling, and we've had days when it's been like raining and windy, and all the lights are kind of swinging back and forth, and you got the generator noise, and the captain's trying to talk to the crew. It's difficult to see when you're out there too. With all these Christmas lights on, you cannot see very well ahead of you, so you're very alert about where the positions of the other boats are. So it's pretty intense out there when you're on the boat.
Well, that's interesting. I don't want to imply that it's scary, but you would be navigating in a different way if there were no lights and the boats didn't have lights normally. You'd be navigating differently, right, Ron?
Oh, yeah. Well, you're never in that situation normally where you're you're out there with about 30 boats are out there at one time going around in a circle, and you try and maintain a distance from the boat ahead of you. And that, you'd be surprised how difficult that is to do, because boats are always, it's sort of like when you're in traffic on a freeway, and you know how cars slow down for no apparent reason.
Right. You
get the same thing going on the boats, and a boat ahead of you will slow down, and boats don't like to slow down. So it's exciting, that's for sure. But it's fun. It's not really dangerous. I mean, it's just that you want to try and maintain that distance from
right.
the boat ahead of you, and keep
right.
keep the parade moving constantly. So it's interesting.
So Kieran, we're gonna talk about all aspects of the boat parade. We're certainly gonna talk about sponsors, and we're gonna talk about the charities that are benefiting. But I want to give people a sense of the sort of what's going to happen on that day. So give us sort of a general idea of what happens on December 10th.
Well, on December 10th, we have our Grand Marshal's boat, which will be tied up at the dock at 4 o'clock. And there is going to be a singer and guitarist that will be playing to entertain. At 4:30, the SUPs will go out. Hopefully it won't be too windy for them this year. And then they will do their, and you say it's they're all dressed up in costume, and they have little dogs and things on their paddle boards, and they're amazing to me because I don't know how they stand up on them. But they go out for just under an hour probably and paddle around, and it's very fun. And then at 5:30, our cannon fires, and that's when the boats turn on their lights, and all the lights, if it goes as planned, come on at once. And it's really a spectacular sight. And then the boats go out for the parade until about 7, and they come in about 7.
Right. This is just amazing. And when people are there, they're going to have a lot of fun. And there are also viewing locations as well, aren't there, Karen?
Yes, there are. You can see the parade well from anywhere along the seawall. There will be bleachers set up on Mole B. And people can view the parade from there. There will be a coffee truck, which I understand serves yummy peppermint hot chocolate and cappuccino to keep people warm.
Mm-hmm.
But anywhere along, any of the restaurants along there, Baleen's, R10, any of those restaurants along the waterfront, you will be able to see the parade.
Okay, great. And Jackie?
I was just going to say, depending on the weather, will dictate how far the boats can go. Because generally they stay in the marina, but 3 years ago we had zero winds and it was so calm, and they were actually able to go a little further, like out towards the pier. So
right.
it's all weather dependent, how far they can go. But has anybody checked Ye Olde Farmer's Almanac to see what the weather is supposed to be like on the 10th yet?
No, nobody's checked that yet. Still too far out.
Yeah, no, you know, Ron, what you were telling us about being out there, I find that so interesting. So do you have, if you're the skipper, if you're at the helm, how big of a team do you need to handle things like making sure the lights and decorations are working, or the music, or watching out for the boat in front of you and behind you? What does that take?
Well, it's typically we have at least three people that are on high alert during that whole time. We have a person, probably four. We have persons on port and starboard, and the captain's in the back. And then usually we have somebody up on the bow. I think we always have somebody up on the bow. And then of course you got the generators running. So it's not very easy to hear on top of that. So the guy up on the bow might yell something like there's a buoy off the port or something like that. And, you know, we have to make sure that the skipper on the helm has to make sure that he hears that or knows where that is. Now, typically they can see it, because one thing the harbor patrol people do for us is they do put little portable lights on the buoys. So that helps us a bunch on navigating around in the harbor that night. So,
And that's just for the boat parade that they do this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, you do something like that normally, but it's more intense with all the lights and the generator noise and, you know, so many
right.
boats around. You've got to be more alert during, right. during the parade.
Right. Very exciting. And so now let's talk about the charities that are going to be benefiting from this event. Karen, it's an event that benefits multiple charities. Can you tell us what are some of the charities that are going to benefit?
Yes, we have three charities this year. They are our own King Harbor Youth Foundation, which is committed to providing access to the sport of sailing to the local kids of all backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And they will be one of our charities. Santa Monica Bay Maritime Training, which is actually Sea Scouts, will be one of our training. And those are for young men and women 14 to 21. And then Waterfront Education, which is a program that really is fascinating. It inspires our youth with educational experiences, not only with regard to sailing and fish and the water and things like that, but as Julie said, the electrical and it's basically a kind of a classroom situation. And we have our representatives there. They are of those three organizations.
Okay. Well, Julie, let's start with the King Harbor, I guess it's the Boating Foundation that morphed into Waterfront Education. Can you explain that?
Yeah, we were founded as King Harbor Boating Foundation, and there was some confusion because it sounds very similar to other foundations and associations in the harbor. And then our activities morphed. So last year, the board decided to do a DBA, Waterfront Education, because we were working, and we still are, a lot with homeschoolers using the ocean as a natural classroom. So beyond just water sports and doing things like STEM sailing and ocean exploration on SUPs, we spend a lot of time with the kids talking about conservation and microplastics in the ocean and what they can do to make the planet a better place in the future. So the goal is really to get kids active on the water so that they care about it and feel responsible for it and are caretakers for the future.
Okay, and we're talking waterfronteducation.org. That's
correct.
The official URL, waterfronteducation.org. So when do classes take place? How many kids are involved?
Last year we started with, believe it or not, just four kids, and we served over 200, and that was our first full school year on the water. So our programs run from September through May and Monday through Friday. So we work, like I said, mostly with homeschoolers, but the traditional school kids are starting to find their way to us. And believe it or not, our most popular class and our gateway to all the recreational water sports is fishing. So when you get these five-year-old kids, boys and girls, especially the girls in their boots and miniskirts, it's hilarious, and they catch their first fish and start to have that connection with the ocean, you start to see them evolve. And we've had kids go from fishing and then get a little bit braver and try stand-up paddleboarding and then eventually try sailing. So, you know, it's amazing to watch them build that confidence, because the ocean really doesn't care whether you're male or female, whether you're black or white, whether you're 5 or 50. You know, it's the ocean. It treats us all the same. It's, you know, it's very neutral.
Right. Equal opportunity. Don't make mistakes that you don't want to make.
Oh, you make all kinds of mistakes, but it's very forgiving.
Very
most
forgiving.
Of the time.
Well, what are there some other activities that you'd like to highlight from the Waterfront Education?
I think the biggest thing that has happened most recently is, you know, we partner with local businesses. And what we've done recently with the Sea Lab is we've created a marine innovation hub where we can start to explore not only electrical, but innovation in a way that benefits the sea. For example, underwater robotics. So we would last year, our kids got tired of picking up trash, quite frankly. And so they built a robot that would actually, with a net, that would pick up the trash for them. So it's exploring the technologies and giving kids an opportunity to learn by the ocean in a way that's not recreational. It's more educational, and saying, okay, how can we take this technology and explore what we can do for the ocean? And what, in particular, we always try to bring it back to our harbor. What can we do for our harbor? We play in our harbor. We need to take care of our harbor.
Right.
That's amazing. Wait a minute. Robotics? So the kids... Did they build it, or did somebody provide the robot and show them how to use it? Explain that, please.
It's actually very simple. We start with PVC, and, you know, there's a lot you can do with PVC and a set kit with motors, and the kids design it and redesign it, and through that design process, they learn a lot about buoyancy, and we talk about buoyancy in relationships to machines in the ocean. We talk about buoyancy in relationship to boats. We talk about buoyancy and how the animals in the ocean handle buoyancy and buoyancy at different depths. So there's a whole lot of what they call STEM learning going on, which is science, technology, engineering, and math. And all the programs, I will tell you, touch on this in some way, because there's a lot of physics that go on when you're on the water, whether it's, you know, Ron's program or Abby's program or my program. You know, there's a lot of learning going on. It's just happening in a fun way.
That's exciting.
Wow, that's incredible. So yeah. How often do the kids go out with this robot and clean things up?
Not as much as I'd like, truthfully, because they're kids, right? So, you know, one second they're interested, and the next second they're off to something else. So, and each group is different. You know, this group seems to be more bent on going to a competition that they have for the underwater robotics. So, you know, part of what we do with the homeschoolers is it's not a teacher-led sort of discussion that we're familiar with from the past. It's more of discovery leaders, you know, exploring together. So the kids have input on the direction of where we take the class, which takes us down some very interesting roads. So last year, beyond just doing the robot to clean trash, they wanted to motorize a stand-up paddleboard, which, you know, we went down the path, which was very humorous because they thought they were going to have a speedboat when they were done, and they had something that basically moved slower than if they were paddling by hand.
That's funny. That's great. And now, Abby Featherstone, tell us about the King Harbor Youth Foundation.
Hi, guys. The King Harbor Youth Foundation is an organization founded by the Yacht Club. Basically, we give kids an opportunity to sail. We have many different branches of what we do, but that is really our sole mission. You know, we're trying to give kids, not only teach them how to sail, but give them that opportunity.
That's great. And the URL for that is khyf.org. King Harbor Youth Foundation.org. Very easy. How many classes do you have regularly?
We're pretty much all year round. We have our summer sailing class, which is probably our most popular class. It's been around for, I'd say, at least 20 years. It's a 2-month summer camp where the kids come in 2-week sessions, and essentially just learn to rig, handle, sail their own boats.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, an 8-year-old can come in, and by the 2 weeks, they're sailing their own boat.
Okay. Oh, wow.
And then, so that's our summer sailing. And then we also have programs similar to that in the spring and fall, which we call fall and spring sailing. And then we also offer, we have our full year-round race team, which consists of around 40 kids that travel and compete throughout the year.
Okay. That's really exciting, too. So how many children are involved, actually?
The numbers from this summer, I think we reached around 170 kids.
Wow.
Just in the 2-month span that we had this summer. And then we get about 40 kids in our fall and spring sailing classes. And then again, the 40 kids on the race team year-round.
Right. So
Abby, are these individual kids, their parents are putting them in a sailing class, or are these also homeschool kids or from school groups or camp groups?
We're not, the only thing that we would be school affiliated with is the race team. But the race team practices after school. And then obviously in the summertime, we get kids of all ages from honestly all over the country that, you know, are here on vacation or here visiting. quite a mix.
Wow. And the King Harbor Youth Foundation also does sailboat rentals. Is that right?
Yeah, we do. We have three Martin 242s, which is just a 24-foot keelboat. Mm-hmm. And we allow people to go out. We actually teach lessons for not just children, because we are a youth organization, but we also teach lessons for adults. But that really is such a small portion of what we do. These Martins kind of allow us to teach these kids throughout the year. And in order to kind of afford them and upkeep them, you know, we offer these lessons for adults. So it is really just, you know, kind of a small portion of what we do.
I see. What are the prices for rentals? If people were interested in supporting the foundation, they can rent a sailboat. How much is it to rent a sailboat?
It's $75 for 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
That's our rate right now.
Okay.
That's really reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gosh, I mean, how many people does the sailboat accommodate?
You can fit, you know, four is pretty normal. They're not that big seating wise,
yeah.
But I would probably recommend four, especially if you're a newer sailor and you need that extra room to kind of move around.
Okay. Okay.
You know, I got to ask Abby, this is something I've always wondered about. When somebody goes to rent a sailboat from anybody, from any business or foundation, how do you discern whether or not people are experienced?
Honestly, it's usually pretty obvious. Docking is one of the hardest things about handling these larger boats. So, you know, just watching a sailor get off the dock, you usually have a pretty good idea if they're seaworthy or not.
I've always wondered about that. I have several friends that are sailors. They love to sail. They have their own boats, mm-hmm. but they travel quite a bit to, you know, other parts of the world, and they rent sailboats. And I always wonder, because it's not like a driver's license. You know, you go to rent a car, you have a driver's license, you show, but boating is different. They have different sets of rules and stuff. So I always wondered about that. So you can tell whether or not somebody has their sea legs.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Totally. I mean, we've had kids through our summer program who are like 8 and 9 years old, who go through the 2-week program, and, you know, they're like driving their dad's, you know, 27-foot sailboat by the end, you know, because it's really cool when you put kids in a smaller sailboat, they really understand the concepts of sailing. You know, maybe the length of the boat isn't quite the same, but it's pretty remarkable how if you can sail, you know, and you have a good concept of it, you can really translate that into any other sailboat around the world, wherever. You know, it's very universal.
That's amazing. Yeah, I didn't grow up with that. Did you, Joe? Did you grow up sailing? I didn't grow up sailing.
No, I didn't. There were a lot of people around that did. I mean, I lived in Chicago, and obviously,
okay, cool.
You know, we're right on the Lake Michigan, so lots of people did sail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Windy City.
The Windy City, yeah, yeah. Now that brings us to Ron Grassel, Sea Scout skipper for the King Harbor Yacht Club. Ron, Sea Scouts is kind of a bigger organization. Tell us about that.
Well, Sea Scouts, you would think, would be a bigger organization. It's really not. It's kind of an offshoot from the Boy Scouts of America.
Mm-hmm.
It's been around though for. I don't know, close to 100 years, I guess, the Sea Scouts have. And I've been involved with it for about 15 years now.
Mm-hmm.
When my son was about 12 or 13 years old, we found out there was a Sea Scout ship down at King Harbor, which is kind of something I had no idea that was down there. I wish I'd known about it earlier. But we started going out with them. They would have these little fun days on the water. We'd just go out sailing and anyway, it kind of morphed into me ending up being the skipper after a while. it was very exciting. But yeah, in those days, we were more of a traditional ship then, where we had a small group of mostly boys at that time. We had a group of maybe 10 Sea Scouts back then. And they're kind of it's handled much like a Boy Scout troop would be handled, where you have a group of kids and you just go out on outings together. But it's changed. We've had trouble getting that kind of a group together, so we've kind of switched over to a group of high schoolers now. So we're mostly working with a Lawndale high school group, Environmental Charter High School. So we've got a pretty good group right now going with them. So that's basically what we've got going is we're taking out a bunch of high schoolers sailing right now, and it's changed a lot. But we're having a lot of fun with a whole bunch of kids. We've probably got about somewhere around 20 to 40 kids there actively, you know, sailing with us now.
Right, right. Now, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to ask something. I'm sorry. So you mentioned it's similar to the Boy Scouts. So do they work on things to get merit badges, you know, stuff like that, Ron?
No, there's no merit badges in Sea Scouting. It's strictly just getting experience and working your way up through the ranks, which we have not been very good at, unfortunately. But we do have a great time sailing on. That's what we do mostly. But the traditional Boy Scout ship will have about four or five different rank levels they work up into, and then eventually work into joining the Coast Guard or the Navy. Those, it gives you a lot of experience in working on the sea, on the ocean, and it's a big step up for these kids in high school that really have very little experience with the ocean, and then they come down here and like you were saying, Abby was saying, you can tell when someone isn't experienced with boats when they walk out on the dock, and the dock's a little bit rocky, and they're like, oh, the dock is rocky, and they're like worried about it, and you're like, oh man, this guy, you know, he does not know how to sail. You know right away that someone is groomed, you know. But we get a lot of kids like that. We get a lot of kids that are very fresh. They haven't ever been on the ocean, and you get them out on a boat, and they're like, they're astounded about the complexity and what it takes to sail, and they haven't start out with no understanding the way the wind direction is and what it takes to move a boat. They're like astounded that a boat can move by the wind. So it's a lot of fun teaching these kids. They change very quickly at that stage in their life.
Hmm.
That's exciting. That's exciting. Joe, we need to take a station break.
Oh, is it that time already?
It's that time already. Time is flying.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening.
We're like the wind. We're like a boat with our sails in the wind.
That's right, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show, and we're talking King Harbor Holiday Boat Parade, as well as the King Harbor Youth Foundation, the Waterfront Education, and Sea Scouts, of course, and the King Harbor Youth Foundation as well. Did I mention that? We are excited about this event coming up on December 10th, the King Harbor Holiday Boat Parade. We hope you can attend, and there are several places to watch, and you can find out more at just King Harbor Yacht Club. It's khyf.org. Is that right? khyf.org.
I think the information is all over the King Harbor websites. Yeah, King Harbor Yacht Club, King Harbor Boating Foundation, King Harbor Youth Foundation. It's the information's all over, and it's on my website.
And it's on Jackie's website. If you'd like to join our conversation, we'd love to have you. Please give us a call at 714-242-528, area code 714-242-5288. We'd love to have your comment or question. Ron, you talked a little bit about Sea Scouts. It's officially for boys and girls, or women, young men and women, ages 14 to 21. And you also talked about the complexity of sailing. Can you talk a little bit about that? Sailing is quite it's a 360 experience. You're up, down, left, right, yaw, roll. You're moving in all directions at the same time.
Yeah, we sail on Cal 20s, which are boats that were designed and built in the 60s. So we're sailing on 50 plus year old boats, but they're still perfectly fine boats for sailing. They're great boats for teaching on, because we can get the Cal-20s have a pretty big cockpit area where you can put all the people. You can get six people in the cockpit of a Cal-20 if you want to. It's definitely crowded in there, but typically we put three or four in each boat. And they're keel boats like the Martin 242s, but they have a really heavy keel. They're very stable boats, and we do race them still, so there's a fleet of those boats. But understanding the wind is one of the biggest problems we have with the kids. We're like, we'll say, well, which way is the wind coming from? And they don't understand that if the wind is coming from their right, for instance, that the sails have to the left, but not so much that it doesn't catch the wind. It'll be luffing or something. And mm-hmm. so many of the kids have this really hard time understanding. You can't see the wind, so you have to look out and look up at, like, there's a Windex at the top of the mast, and there's flags around, and there's wind blowing the steam off the power plant, and there's all kinds of clues. There's ripples on the water that tell you which way the wind is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
they don't see that. They're like looking around, and which way is the wind coming from? And they have no clue. It's funny, but so. You know, there's times when we're out sailing, well, sometimes when it's calm and there's not much going on, we'll put kids that are pretty experienced out on the boats, but you can tell that they still really don't quite get it because, you know, if the wind is coming from behind them when the sail should be pushed way out, they'll have it pulled way in and they're going really slow, or it's the opposite. They'll have, you know, the wind on their stern and their sail will be in tight and they're moving very slow again. But they're getting it. Some of the kids get it more quickly than others. You can see that right away when the light turns on someone's face when they realize that they knew what they're doing. You just see it in their face. They're like confident. That's what you're doing. You're trying to build up confidence and the ability to handle things. You know, when things don't go perfectly, which happens a lot on a boat, things. Yeah, you have surprises happen on a boat, and people get to where they understand that, and they can deal with it, and you see that. It's just great to see that on kids' faces when they finally get to that point where they can handle everything. So we're there with some of the kids now.
Wow, Julie, I'm fascinated by the concept of a boat as a classroom and as an enrichment tool for STEM training, STEM education. There's something very fundamental and involving about being on the water, isn't there?
There is. And besides the sailing, the stand-up paddle boards for ocean exploration have been amazing. There's a lot of people who don't realize that we have a sand dollar colony within our harbor. And at low tide, exploring that and the creatures that inhabit that particular area are amazing. So when the kids are learning hands-on, you know, when they're seeing the trash that we're having them pick up and we do a prize for the, you know, craziest trash that you find, or when we go to the sand dollar colony and suddenly we have bat rays that are there that the instructors pick up and start to talk about, you know, how they feed or how the sand dollars feed, it's just amazing because it's very different than being in a classroom. Because they're seeing it firsthand. Last year we were doing an ocean exploration class and the fog rolled in. And so we had a whole discussion on the types of fog and how to stay safe in the fog. And to have them see it when it's coming in from Santa Monica, and first we can see the yacht club and then we can't see the yacht club and then we can't see the Harbor Patrol building. And for them to experience all kinds of conditions, like Ron said or Abby will tell you, the wind – sometimes it's constant, sometimes it's fickle, you know, and to be able to adapt. And so it's that enrichment out there and learning, whether it's on a sailboat or a stand-up paddleboard, and just seeing the ocean in different states. There's times when the ocean is very angry, or I call it very angry, you know, when we've got big breeze and swell and, you know, that sort of thing. And there's times, particularly in the fall, where, you know, breeze is hard to come by, and so the lessons are very different. And so to see the kids go from very common in the fall, where any little heeling of the boat until they understand the concept of the keel, very much like having to understand the concept of, you know, the wind, like, okay, we've got a big keel here, we're not going to, you know, we're not going to flip, to when we get into the spring where suddenly they've got, you know, 6 months under their belt of being on the ocean, and they're just like, all right, you know, let's harness this wind and go. So it's been amazing. And there's times we can't get out on the water because there's a small craft advisory. And one of the most amazing things that happened last year is we did a beach discovery because we couldn't get out on the water. And the kids discovered the sandworm structure. And what's really interesting about a sandworm is that they're actually using it in medicine and to replace sutures, because that particular creature builds its house around it and secretes a certain type of adhesive. So it's when you can make that connection from, wow, the ocean is great with all these great creatures, to, wow, look at what we're learning from the ocean and from nature itself that we're taking into our everyday lives, that you see some incredible learning going on.
Wow.
How big are these sandworms?
They're very small.
Okay,
so,
I was imagining something from a horror movie. Sorry.
You know, it's really funny. When you get the kids on the water, there's two things they're afraid of: the big jaw shark that's going to take them out, or the big tsunami wave. And so once you teach them that, like, look, the sharks just really aren't that into us, and if a big tsunami wave comes, we're all going out together. You know, it's just, it's those fears, and it's not just the kids. I've had it with adults, too, where it's just like, you know, until they understand the mechanics of what's happening, it can be a little bit frightening. The boat suddenly starts heeling, and if you don't know that that's okay or how to control the sails, you know, and that's where all the programs are striving to get the kids out there and understanding. And not only our local kids, but inland kids. You know, the more that we can get people who aren't exposed to the ocean out there, the better off we are, because a lot of people don't realize that 70 to 80% of the oxygen that we breathe comes from the ocean. And so if we don't take care of that ocean, we're going to cease to exist as a species. And so, you know, it's interesting when you talk to these groups who are big into planting trees, which is a great thing, but, you know, we've got to take care of our oceans. And anyway, sorry, I was on my soapbox for a minute, but it is very important. And when you see the trash out there and the way that we pollute it and the balloons that all three of our organizations pick up, the Mylar balloons are by far one of the worst things out there because they look like fish. And so the animals want to eat them as a food source, and they end up, you know, suffocating because of it. So anyway, there's a lot that we do on land that directly impacts the ocean. And sometimes that connection is not made with adults and children who don't live by the ocean and don't see it every day.
Right, right. I'm always reminded when you talk about the people inland who some literally have never seen the ocean, and they only live like 10 miles from it. I think of City to Sea, city2sea.org. Basically, John Sakis takes young kids out that have never seen the ocean, and when they get on the water, their minds are blown.
Yeah, and actually, Abby's group does a really great job with their New Channels program, and she can talk more about it, but they do something similar, as does Ron's and ours. But Abby, I mean, maybe you might want to talk a little bit about New Channels.
Hi. New Channels is a program which started by Pilgrim Brickey and a couple of other volunteers within the Youth Foundation. Basically, what they've been doing and what they continue to do is go on outings, in which they take kids from needy homes, kids who have learning disabilities, kids who literally, like you're describing, have never seen the ocean before. And they incorporate sailing, they incorporate kayaking. We have volunteers from the yacht club that bring down their motorboats and allow those kids to head and cruise around the bay. New Channels is definitely that organization.
Wow, this is really amazing. And Karen, I have to ask, how long have you been involved with the King Harbor Yacht Club, Karen?
I've been a member of the yacht club for about 15 years. This is my first year as chairman of the boat parade.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of work. But one of the things I wanted to say about the boat parade is that we have this year three grand marshals instead of just one.
Whoa.
Our theme this year is Star Spangled Holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And we have decided to kind of honor our own, those who help to keep us safe, who risk their lives to keep us safe. We have Captain Tom Krafik of the Redondo Police Department. We have Officer David Poirier from the Harbor Patrol, who has done some pretty spectacular rescues. And we have Specialist John Van, I think it's Dwinwick, who is a lifeguard, who also has done some pretty spectacular rescues. So we will be honoring them this year. They will be riding on our Grand Marshal boat, the Disappearance, which is the body glove boat, mm-hmm. which is donated to us every year as our Grand Marshal boat.
Mm-hmm.
So we're pretty excited about our Grand Marshals this year and about our parade.
Is it, Karen, is it normal for a yacht club to be as involved? I mean, you hear these stories from Ron and from Julie and from Abby about their involvement with kids and adults, but the outreach, the training, the rental, is it typical for yacht clubs to be as I don't know if you call it outwardly looking or inwardly looking into the land and helping others understand the ocean? Is that normal? I thought you guys were out there on your yachts sipping Mai Tais all the time.
Well, we do that too, but I think that it's an individual thing. I think I'm not real familiar with most yacht clubs other than ours. I think that there are some that do. I don't know that they have the outreach that we do with the waterfront education. That's pretty encompassing. That it just teaches so much. Julie has taken that so far, And I don't know that they have as intense a program with the outside areas that we do.
Mm-hmm.
But I know there are a lot of them that have like sailing teams and mm-hmm. Sailing lessons and things of that sort.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it is all around. It revolves around the water and boating and the skills of being on the water, but it is so enriching to the community to have all these different programs that kids and adults can get involved with. It's very, very exciting to be a part of the holiday boat parade. I know Jackie and I are looking very much towards that. And Bobby Christian didn't call in, Jackie.
Oh, he didn't. Okay, well, that's fine because we need the time. Karen, you got to tell us about the people that this event wouldn't be possible without, our fabulous, fabulous sponsors.
Oh, yes.
Yes, let's hear about
them. Oh, yes. Our sponsors are a big part of our parade. Like you say, it wouldn't be possible without them because nothing is free and this doesn't come cheap.
Right.
We have Chevron, who year after year sponsors us. Of course, we all know Chevron. Redondo Beach Waterfront, which is the waterfront program there, is a sponsor to us. King Harbor Association sponsors us with money and gift cards and newspaper ads. And AES, the power plant. This year we have a new sponsor, the San Pedro Fish Market. And Martha Barbie, one of our city councilmen, has become a sponsor. We do, we do count heavily on our sponsors.
Karen, we also don't want to leave out the fact that CenterCal has been a sponsor for at least, I think, the last 5 years.
CenterCal is Redondo Beach Waterfront, right?
Yes.
Yes. And they have been around, as has King Harbor Association and AES. All of those four have been sponsors for a long time. Mm-hmm. And Bay Club mm-hmm. is also one of our sponsors and has been around and actually in the last year or so has supported the bleachers that we put up for the public viewing.
Okay. Well, this has been such a wide-ranging discussion. I want to go through all of our panelists and get contact information. Let's start with you, Julie. How can people get involved in waterfront education?
There's a couple ways they can get involved. They can go to our website, and they can take our classes. We also have the Splash Squad, which is our volunteer organization that comes out and supports our events, not just fundraising, but, you know, last year they were on the boat. We had one of them was our Santa, and we had another one managing a snack shack. And then another way, if they're really interested in, we started a Pink Power Club for girls to really empower girls in a female-friendly way. Mm-hmm. So they can go to our website, our phone number's there, they can call me. There's plenty of ways to get involved, and it's this ever-growing organization. So we always need volunteers, and we are on the hunt for really skilled educators. They can be either formal or informal educators that can teach the kids and give them these really rich hands-on experiences, because part of teaching on the ocean, as Ron mentioned, and I think Abby as well, is you have to be adaptable because things change, and mm-hmm. it's not always going to be a structured environment. So it takes very talented people to come out and really teach those the kids.
And what website is that?
It's waterfronteducation.org, O-R-G.
Okay, fantastic. And then, of course, Abby Featherstone, how can people get in touch with the King Harbor Youth Foundation?
People can get in touch through our website. That's really our main source for information, including our class schedules. You can go to khys.org. And we also have a Facebook page, KHYF Sailing, if you just type that in. And we also have an Instagram, King Harbor Youth. We post regularly, mostly of like our racing team, because again, they're year-round. But starting in March, we're going to have our summer sailing registration open, and that's really the best time for kids to get involved because it's nice and warm and the water's warm. So look forward to that.
Awesome. And of course, Ron Grassel, how can people get involved with and find out more about Sea Scouts?
Well, for us, probably the best way, if someone's really interested in joining us, is just to actually contact the King Harbor Yacht Club. Just get on Google and type in KHYC, mm-hmm. and you'll see the King Harbor Yacht Club and their website, and you can drop an email to them and ask for us to contact back with a phone number or an email address, and we'll get back to you. You can also look at seascouts.org online. I think on seascouts.org, you can find a link to us there too. So that should be fine.
Okay. Well, this is one of the premier events of the season. Certainly, it's spectacular lighting. We're going to try to get this event viewed by all the local bars and restaurants through.
You know,
streaming.
I wanted to mention just the plan for the 10th.
Yes.
So earlier in the day, I believe from 2 to 4, the Redondo Pier Association has their annual pier concert and Santa on the pier. All right. So you can go down there from 2 to 4. There's going to be live music. Santa will be there. You can get your photo ops and stuff. And that ends at 4. And now from there, let's just, you know, say that in case of weather conditions or whatever, if it's really, really nice out, you might may be able to see stuff from the pier. But we recommend you make your way over to the seawall. All right, that seawall runs all along you know, where Captain Kidd's is, Samba's, goes around to where On the Rocks used to be, Portofino Inn, you know, R10, you know, the International Boardwalk. All along these areas, you'll be able to view the parade. I understand that Portofino does an event every year. They're right there on the seawall. They do a special event each year for people to come in and hang out and watch the parade. And so anyway, as we said, so from the pier, you can go right into the marina. The paddle boards will come out at 4:30. They're out there for about an hour. They do a lap, come in, it's dark by then, the cannon goes off, the boats, lights come on, and then they do, several laps around the marina. So that's the plan for December 10th, Joe.
All right.
That's where you got to be. Oh, and also we should mention, you mentioned many of the restaurants in the harbor, even those without views
right.
of the actual boat parade, will be streaming it live. So,
right.
so if you're inside having dinner, you know, you can watch it on the TV. If it's not on the TV, ask the bartender, say, hey, put on the boat parade.
Right.
So, yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And hopefully we'll have more information for all of the local businesses, bars, and restaurants on getting connected to that stream very shortly. And we're excited. This is going to be fun.
I believe the URL is already up, isn't it? Just go to the King Harbor Boat Holiday Boat Parade Facebook page, right? It's going to be streaming
that,
on there. Right?
That is correct. That is
correct.
That
is correct. It's already out there.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what a fascinating discussion it's been, Karen Keitzer. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And Julie Cole, thank you so much. We're excited about Waterfront Education.
Thanks for having me. It's great to get out and talk to the message. And one thing I might add, we talked a lot about people viewing the boat parade, but
yes.
for people who own boats and SUPs, please enter the parade, because we don't have a parade if we don't have boats and we don't have stand-up pedalboards. And it might be scary decorating that boat for the first time, but they can contact Karen, and we have all sorts of resources that can help you decorate that boat and give you the confidence and actually put people on your boat if you're a newbie and want to get out there for the first time.
All
right. Oh, so you're still taking boating registration. Okay, okay. So, oh, that's good to know. That's good to know. Anybody out there listening, you want to be in the boat parade, you still have time.
And Jackie?
Great.
Yes.
Yeah?
Jackie, we have a skipper's meeting coming up on next Wednesday, the 7th.
Yes.
Which will be very informative to anyone who's entering a boat. And like Julie says, we have organizations that can help them decorate. You want to get your boat in the parade, we'll help you do it.
Okay.
All right. December 7th, Skipper's meeting.
Skipper's
7
meeting.
7 p.m.
7 p.m.
I want to be a skipper. I want to be a skipper. No? You want to be a skipper?
Grab a boat. Come on out.
Grab a boat. Abby Featherstone, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you guys so much. I had a great time, and I'll see you guys at Boat Parade.
Of course. Of course. And Ron Grassel, Sea Scout skipper, thank you so much for joining us today.
Okay, thank you very much. I'd just like to have one little shout out, an extra thank you to the AES power plant. They give us free storage for our boats over there, so we're very indebted to the AES power plant for helping us out. Anyway, we'll see you at the Christmas parade, that's for sure.
Okay. Well, yeah, I we're all going to be there. It's such an amazing event. We're going to try to get our family to come out from Dallas, Texas. To see it. We're trying to get them to come out early, and we'll see.
Yeah, I bet Dallas doesn't have a boat parade. they're a little far from the water, huh?
Right. wow, what a great time it's been. And I guess, is there anything else that we should say?
Oh, wait, Karen, I wanted you to give a shout out to your fellow committee members. You might want to, because I know that the committee does so much work.
Yes, they do, and they've been a great help to me. And one of my committee members, Ines Davidson, was the originator of this boat parade 25 years ago.
Yeah.
So I have a Julie Cole, Mark and Deborah Hansen. I don't think you want me to name everybody.
Well,
but, one of the things that I did want to say is Julie Moore was the chairman of our fundraiser and did a fabulous job. But everyone on the committee has been wonderful.
Mm.
Can't get these things done without a committee, Joe.
Nope. It takes a committee or a village.
Both. a village with a committee.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, we're thrilled. We're thrilled to announce this. Everyone, check it out. Just look for King Harbor Yacht Club on Google and get involved and certainly show up. We hope to see you all out there December 10th, Saturday, December 10th. It's going to be a wonderful day at the harbor, King Harbor Holiday Boat Parade. And thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
Okay, that's our show, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.